Hey, welcome to the Crossing Church podcast. You're about to listen to a message from one of our recent meetings, which we trust will bless you. If you're wanting to know more about The Crossing, you can follow us on our social channels or visit thecrossing.org.za. Now lean in and be encouraged by Jesus as you hear his word for you today. You can also drop us a mail at forhim@thecrossing.org.za. The Crossing Church, Christ in us, Christ through us.
Good morning, Crossing Church. Wonderful to be with you, and thank you, Brad. I'm going to be sharing around 1 Corinthians chapter 17 this morning, and the title of the preach is simply this, is what is in your hand? And we're going to look through the Bible where God asks this question, what is in your hand? But coupled to the left and the right, I've got two prophetic words to just support. Number one is that comes out of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. And if you can open your Bibles or open your iPads or phones where you are at home, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 2, let's read it together. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. I had a prophetic picture, and for those who've done scuba diving, for those who've been on the water, you leave your shore and you go on the speedboat out to the place where you scuba dive. And when you get to the place, the dive master or the skipper says, keep your eyes on land. That which doesn't move, that which is consistent. Because if you're like me, I get seasick. And the problem is, when I first did scuba diving, I'm looking in the boat, trying to get myself ready, or looking at the water. And what happens is you start to become disorientated, you start to get nauseous, you're out of balance, and then you get seasick. Right now, as South Africa, right now, as the church in South Africa, we are going through turbulent waters. The wind is blowing, the winds are crashing in. Here's the key out of Hebrews. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He's the rock who never moves. It's a wonderful scripture out of Malachi chapter 3, verses 6. Please read it when you can. And it says this, I, the Lord, do not change, so that you, descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. I take great courage from that because of the consistency of God, because of his love that never changes, the shifting, he's not like shifting shadows. Because of his consistency and faithfulness, you and me are not destroyed. He will carry us by his word. He will carry us by his power. So take heart, church. The second prophetic encouragement is out of Jude verses 20, and it says this, brothers, build yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit, and remain in the love of the Father. And in this time of supposedly lockdown, guys, build yourself up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Spirit, because like Jesus was hidden, like Elijah was hidden, like Moses was hidden, there comes a time when God releases you and we come out in the power of the Holy Spirit. Time to build yourself up in your most holy faith. Right, if you can please turn with me to the book of 1 Kings chapter 17, and we're going to pick up an amazing piece of scripture that I want to share with the church this morning. And it's a question, and we'll see how God deals with Elijah with provision, and we'll see how God deals with the widow. It's a fascinating story. But before I go to 1 Kings 17 and read, I feel to encourage you guys. Number one, there are many voices right now in the world. You can turn on all your different news channels. You can look at all the social media handles. There's millions of people who claim to be experts in coronavirus and how to deal with things. Could I ask one thing? From an eldership, we're asking and imploring you, the voice of the shepherd, the voice of Jesus needs to be the loudest voice in your heart, in your mind, in your family. Let him be the one who leads you, directs you, and encourages you. Very, very important. So take heart. The church's voice for now, for me, needs to be the loudest and needs to be the clearest. Let our voice be full of faith. Let our voice be full of assurance. Let our voice have a sound mind and peace. Let our voice be full of hope, full of grace, full of love, and most importantly, full of power and truth. Let us have the word of truth in this time upon people to encourage them. We ask this. All right, 1 Kings 7, 1 Kings chapter 17. Let's go, please, from verses 2. I'm going to read the whole story, then we're going to unpack it, and we're going to make some comments, and I trust it's going to encourage you this morning. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kereth ravine, east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook. I have instructed the ravens to supply you with food there." Notice the word instruct. So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kereth ravine, east of the Jordan, and he stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Verses 7. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have instructed," notice that word again, "I've instructed a widow there to supply your food." So he went to the town. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little bit of water so that I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord our God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour and a little jug of oil. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself." Look at those words here. "Then we will eat and we'll die." Elijah said, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you've said." Notice this. "But first make a small loaf of bread for me." Wow. "From what you have, and bring it to me. Then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up. The jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land." She went away, look at this, and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. That is 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 2 to the end of 16. I found some profound truths coming out of the scripture here, and I want to break it into two. I want to talk about Elijah, and then I want to talk about the widow. Notice this, that in the beginning of chapter 17, Elijah's the one who said, "It will not rain at my word," for 3.5 years. And we'll pick up that story later in the book of James. If you want to sometime, go see what was happening there. Notice this. God said, "Elijah, it's time to now go and hide." He went into the Kereth ravine. And I want you to see the power of God's word and the power of God's provision. God instructed a raven to bring bread, to bring meat every morning and every evening to Elijah. Now, how about this? Look at the confidence that this man Elijah has. He's sitting in the Kereth ravine. He gets bread brought. What does Jesus say? "Give us today our daily bread." Here it comes every morning, every evening. He brings meat. Why? Because there's something in the book of Hebrews about the meat of the word. You can be alone, you can be isolated, you can be locked away. Let me tell you, you can feast on the meat of the word of God. God has instructed provision. God has instructed the meat of the word to come. And then living water, the brook, feeding. What is that a picture of? Well, that's the Holy Spirit, the living water of his presence and of his grace every day, covering and supplying the needs of Elijah. What I think is very important to understand, and it's a question that you and me are going to get asked a lot in our lives. What is in your hand? You see, in Exodus chapter 4, verses 2, you've got Moses who's trying to not lead the people of Israel. In fact, he asked someone else, "God, send somebody else. I can't do it." And God had to show Moses something. He says, "Moses, what is in your hand?" So Moses obviously looked and was like, "Well, it's a staff. It's a piece of stick." He says, "Throw it on the ground." As he does that, notice this. Moses obeyed the voice of the Father. "Throw it down, Moses." As he does that, the supernatural breaks in. heaven breaks in and he realizes this is not a staff of just wood. This is a staff, the rod of authority. This is the same staff that he would strike the rock and bring water out. It's the same staff that he would raise and the Red Sea would split. This is the power of when something is in our hands, through faith and obedience, in agreement with the word of God, when we hand it into his hand, there comes the release of heaven and the supernatural power of God. We know the story, Luke chapter 9. You there have got 5,000 people. They come up, his disciples say, Jesus, send them people away. They're hungry, there's nothing in this area, they need to go. Jesus says, you give them something to eat. You feed them. Then you've got all the accountant minds like Philip. He says, well, this is going to be a year's salary. Is it worth it? And Jesus then sent forth the word from heaven. He said, guys, what do we have? A little boy's lunch that mommy packed for him. 2 fish, 5 loaves. To the disciples, they were looking at from their lack. This is all we have. What's it going to do? The instruction for obedience goes out. And Jesus says, guys, have them sit in groups of 50. As they obeyed, Jesus prayed, the supernatural provision came, and over 5,000 men, excluding women and children, were fed. Again, what is in your hand, if you look at it through the eyes of lack, you're going to see what you don't have. But when you look at it through the eyes of faith, in obedience to the word that God has spoken, know this, he will multiply 30, 60, 90, 100-fold at the power of his word. Mark chapter 8 is another story, similar, the feeding of the 4,000 people. Same thing. What do we have? Oh, Jesus, we've only got this. No problem. Let me show you what I can do. You just obey my word. 4,000 people were fed. Church, I want to ask you this morning, if God had to say to you, can these bones live? Right now, if God had to come and ask you, areas in our country, areas in politics, areas in economies, can these bones live? You see, Ezekiel turned around and said, actually, God, I don't know. But Ezekiel in his heart obeyed God, and God said, prophesy, son of man, prophesy the breath and the life of God into these dry bones. You see, church, let me say emphatically clearly, the church is the vehicle that carries the prophetic voice of heaven upon planet Earth. Bible says this, that the power of death and life lies in the tongue. So I want to encourage you. How are you posting on Facebook? How are you tweeting? How are you communicating on the digital platform? Is it full of faith and life? Or is it criticism? Is it hypocrisy? Is it fear? Whatever it is, make sure, guys, that we are speaking life. We're speaking the very words of heaven upon this incredible country. You see, to Ezekiel, he saw dry bones. But God says, under my power, I see a vast army. Start to prophesy. Start to declare life. Start to bring the release of provision, the release of heaven, the release of God's power upon this incredible nation. Because God is once more shaking the heavens and the earth. And the Bible makes it clear, that which can be shaken will be removed. But that which stays, built on the rock of Christ, is going to stand, be purified, it's going to grow in power. This is what the Word of God says. Let's continue there. From verses 7 onwards, notice this. Some time later, the brook dried up. That word time, theologians would have it that Elijah was around about 12 months to a year in the Kerith Ravine, hidden away. Notice this. When God changes the season, he cuts off the supply for that season. So his brook ran dry. That season was coming to an end, and there was a whole nother season that God was going to have Elijah walk into. Notice this. He already sent the word of instruction that a widow was now going to take care of his needs. The season in the Kerith Ravine, the ravens fed him. The brook dried up, God closed the season. The new season coming for Elijah to walk into, God had already instructed new provision. Take heart, South Africa. Take heart, Crossing Church. When God closes off a season, you can no longer access that source in that season. It's closed. But God has already instructed new provision, new resources for people throughout the country, South Africa, the churches. Take heart. But what it does require us is for us to walk in with faith and to walk in with obedience to the word of God. So Elijah comes into the town, and there's a bit of a change now, because God is now going to start to work on a widow's heart. Incredible. I take great encouragement from this. Picture, Elijah walks into the town gate, and he sees a widow there. And he says, "Sorry, can I have some water?" And the woman starts to go and get water. And he says, "Whilst you're there, can I have some bread?" Because Elijah is wanting to see, is this the widow that God has raised to bring the provision? The woman turns around and says something profound. She says, "As surely as your Lord lives, I don't have bread. I've only got a handful of flour and a jug of oil." Notice this again. Here's the question that God is going to ask. What is in your hands? Because the woman was viewing her lack. She was looking at what she has got as inadequate, deficient, and not able to supply what Elijah was looking for. You see, here's the key. The woman had lost all hope. She was a widow. She lost her husband. She was cooking her last meal, getting some sticks together. Picture it, guys. I want you to think about it. In the time of famine, and many people are declaring great famine upon us in terms of business and economics. Let me tell you something from the Word of God. This is what God can do. This woman is gathering the sticks, and she's starting to basically get her little sticks together to have her last meal and die. How about this? This is a father. God knows what she's doing. God sends the prophetic word. God sends Elijah into this town. And this woman was about to eat her last meal. God is about to show her that that last meal was not her last meal. It was the seed to be sown for many meals to come. We're going to look at this. This is the power. So many times we get confused between eating our seed instead of eating our bread and sowing our seed. This is key, guys. In this time of economic crunch, let me make it clear again. You need to ask God, what is seed to be sown and what is the bread to be eaten? This is not the time to hoard. This is not the time to pull back, because I'm about to show you something that God is able to take what we have in our hands and he's able to multiply at the power of his word. Let's continue. The woman turned around and said, "I don't have what you're looking for." I feel this is key. Elijah turned around and said, "Woman, lady, don't be afraid." Right now, church, let me say this. The world is needing that calm, still voice of authority. Don't be afraid. Those whose trust in Jesus Christ, those who put their faith and hope in him, the Bible's clear. Don't be afraid. There's one who loves you. You've got a father who sends an Elijah to a town, to a widow, to take care of actually her needs. This woman thought she was about to die. She didn't realize she was about to encounter the power of heaven, the power of God's spoken word. Notice something here, and I felt this is an encouragement for us as a church. Elijah says, "Woman, go and do what you were going to do. First, make me bread. Then, go and make something for yourself and your son." You know, when I first read that, I kind of think, Elijah, here's a widow. Yes, God told you were going to be looked after by a widow. She's got no husband. She's just told you now that she's literally making her last meal to die. And you're telling her, make me first. Guys, I want us to understand something here. This is not about Elijah. This is not about Elijah's stomach being full. Remember, for a year, he was fed by birds day and night, meat and bread. This oak is pretty well looked after. He's not fasting. He's not under any pressure with his diet. What is actually happening here? There's something profound that as the church we need to realize. What Elijah was doing was, don't make bread for me. Make bread in response to the word of God and the power of his kingdom. You see, Matthew chapter 6 says this, "Seek first his kingdom." You see, the word that came from Elijah to this woman is, prioritize the kingdom first. Prioritize the word of God. There is a prophetic word that's come from heaven through the willing vessel, Elijah. If you will prioritize that word first, because Elijah said, I tell you that this flour and this oil will not run dry, but make the bread first for me. In other words, make the bread, prioritize the kingdom first. Then you will see the power of God come. You see, right there and then, that woman had a choice. She could have said, thank you, Prophet Elijah. I'm going to go home. I'm going to make my last meal for my son and I. We're going to die. Or she had a choice to put her faith in the word of God, to believe that that word came with prophetic power. She said, I'm going to go do what you've said at the command of your word. In other words, prioritizing the kingdom. Notice this in Matthew 6. Jesus says this, seek first me, my kingdom, and all these other things will be given to you as well. We don't have to worry. God knows before you even pray tomorrow morning what your needs are. The Father already knows that. Before even the widow was at the point of desperation, God had already sent Elijah to come and meet her need. You don't have to tell God what you need. God already knows what you need. What God is saying is prioritize my kingdom, my righteousness, and I will take care of everything else. So here you had something profound. You had a widow who was at the point of hopelessness. The power of God's word came. She took it, obeyed the word with faith. She went in and prepared a meal first, not for Elijah's stomach, but in obedience and respond to the word that came from heaven. What happened? She was not only able to provide food for herself and her son, but for another estimation around about 2.5 years, there was food that never stopped being supplied. Why? At the command of God's word. So I want us to see this morning that when God asks, what is in our hands? What do we have? If your lenses are looking through the eyes of lack, the eyes of deficiency or inadequacy, that's not going to work. But if you come, say, Father, this is what I have. I'm going to sow my seed and I'm going to eat my bread. And I'm going to sow in faith and with obedience. Remember this, faith and obedience coincides with the supernatural move of God. Whenever you see the power of God, what you do see is obedience and faith from a vessel that God used. That's how God works with his church. The church operates in faith and obedience to the word spoken, and the power of God comes, and there you have heaven break in a mighty, radical way. I want to close off with two portions of scripture. And maybe where you're sitting there in your home and you're looking at the month end of April coming and you're going, God, I know I'm not going to be able to make it. You're looking at your family, you look at friends, you're looking at many things. Could I encourage you after this time, after this preach has been watched by yourself, could I encourage you to go and get on your knees before God? And if you're married, get on your knees with your wife, your husband, and pray, God, what is in my hand that I can sow with faith, with obedience, to see the power of God fall upon this seed and upon people's life that you've called us to bless. Right now, there's no better time to be sowing. Sometimes the best, when that woman came into the temple and the guys were giving money, and Jesus said, they are giving out of their overflow. This woman who came in dropped in 2 coins. And Jesus said, she has given more. Why? She gave out of her lack. She gave out of faith and obedience, not from abundance, but from lack. And I want to encourage you that in Genesis chapter 8, verses 22, the Bible says this, as long as the earth endures, there'll be seed, there'll be time, and there'll be harvest. We need to read, like men of Issachar, we're able to determine and discern the times and the seasons. There's a season for sowing, there's a season of waiting, and there's a season of harvest. In closing out, if you could turn with me, please, to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 10 and 11. And I want to leave this with us around encouragement. Notice this. Verses 10 says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase the store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Here's the key, is that the same God who supplies the seed for sowing, this is the same God who's going to supply the bread for eating. I want to encourage you, pray and discern that which is to be eaten and that which is to be sown. Because what Jesus is saying here is that when you sow your seed of faith, that seed of righteousness, he's the one that will enlarge that harvest for generations to come. And the same word that was given to the widow at with Elijah, that until the rain returns, you will never run out. Let me tell you this, God is faithful. He says the righteous will never be forsaken. And here's a command and here's a promise from God. Your children will never beg for bread. Now there's a promise that's given to us from heaven. There's a promise that's given to us from a loving Father. I trust that this word has encouraged you this morning. I trust that you have heard that God is able to supernaturally provide. But here's the key, is what is in your hand? God's going to ask you that question. Is it just, oh, it's a staff like Moses thought? Or actually, I've just got 2 fish and 5 loaves? Or can we come to the Father and say, God, this is what's in my hand. How do you want me to see it multiplied under your command? Could I just say something in closing off? Is we do not subscribe to the hyper-prosperity message. Because a hyper-prosperity message is simply this, greed. However, the Bible's very clear about prosperity. The Bible, God says, I want you to prosper, spirit, soul, and body. Here's the key. Prosperity is intrinsically linked to the word spoken by God. When God said to Joshua, all this land I have given you, now march out. Wherever you tread your feet, I will give you. Why could Joshua move around Canaan with confidence and take every bit of land that his feet treaded? Simply this, because God spoke the word. You see, hyper-prosperity is this name it and claim it without the word, without the substance from Jesus Christ. But what we do see in the Bible is that when Jesus commands us to sow and he commands us to give, when we have a discerning heart and we hear what God is saying, let me tell you, friends, when you sow and invest your life, your time, your talents, your finances, your resources, when you become a fragrant offering to Jesus Christ, he's able to multiply 30, 60, 90, 100 fold. But God needs to speak the word into your life. And God has spoken clearly throughout Scripture. Maybe this morning you've dialed in. It's the first time you're hearing a preach from a church called The Crossing Church. Or maybe you've been watching the social pages for a while. And maybe you right now in your heart know that you've heard of Jesus Christ. You know of him, but you don't have a personal relationship with him. He's not the Lord of your life. It's one thing to call Jesus Rabbi. It's one thing to call him friend. It's a big difference to call him Lord and King of your life. So this morning, if you're in your home and you know you're not right with Jesus and you want to respond to this gospel, that Jesus wants to come and make his home in you and he wants to save you and he wants to give you eternal life, when you're found in him, no matter the wind, no matter the waves, he will hold you at the power of his word. He wants you to respond to the gospel and to receive that free gift of salvation on the cross. He died on the cross to take away your sin and to give you eternal life. The Bible says, believe upon him, confess him, and you shall be saved. If you could bow your head with me, I want to lead you into a prayer. Lord Jesus, I come before you. I thank you, Lord, for the cross. I thank you, Lord, that you died on a cross to take away my sin and to give me and to provide eternal life, to reconcile me back to the Father. I declare that you are the Son of God, that you died and 3 days later were raised by the power of God. I believe in my heart and I confess that you are Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I welcome you into my heart. I receive you as Lord and God of my life. Come and take over. Come and take control of my life. You're the great shepherd and you're the voice that I want to hear. Bless you. If you prayed that prayer, please pop us a mail, get onto our social platforms, send us a message privately. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to talk with you. But guys, thank you for this morning. I trust the word has encouraged you, that you have felt lifted up with the prophetic word that he is the God who will provide for you. He will never leave you. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Goodbye.